This evening I'd like to talk about accessing our inner resources, our inner strength, our inner knowing, our inner wisdom. And in addition to gaining access to them, how to strengthen or stabilize our access and bring them more alive in our lives. And so I want to talk about two aspects. One is our strength or our resources, and the second, our inner wisdom, or you might think of it as our inner knowing or inner teaching, inner teacher. So I'd like to begin with a short guided meditation. And to do this, I ask you to find some posture that's comfortable. We're going to take about 5 minutes, maybe a few minutes longer. This is something that if it seems like it is of value or use, you can take this later and spend more time to explore it more fully. So please begin by, I recommend closing your eyes, connect with your breathing, or in whatever way you normally meditate, just take a few minutes to allow yourself to settle, to connect mindfully with your body, what's going on in your heart, in your mind. And then staying in touch with yourself, staying connected with your body, connected with your breathing. So not losing that deepening sense of connection. Bring to mind some issue that's up for you today. There may be some area of worry or stress, or there may be some confusion in your life, or maybe some fear or doubt. And it doesn't have to be the biggest thing, but just connect with some area. As you're connecting with it, feel into your body. Maybe connect down in the belly. Notice what, if anything, happens there. Or perhaps check into the shoulders or neck, muscles of the face. Just seeing, is there any place that tends to tighten up? Do you feel any kind of sensations in the body associated with this challenging situation? If you don't have a particularly challenging situation happening for you these days, you can just connect back to something. It doesn't, maybe it's not quite as difficult. It might be just a minor challenge or annoyance. Not only feeling what's happening in your body, but allow yourself to go into the situation itself a little bit. So maybe there's some visual images of the person or the place, or some memory comes up about what someone said or did, or what you did, or what you wish you could do, or maybe you're not clear what to do. So just let all that be there. And then letting that go a bit, it's probably not going to completely go out of your awareness, but see if you can let it, set it to the side a little bit, and turn your attention to some place or time or situation in your life that was in some ways the opposite of this challenging situation. So if what you brought to mind was a sense of confusion about something in your life, see if we're going to come back to that in a few moments. So we're not going to lose that. But for the moment, see if you can touch into some place in your life or some time, it might have been a long time ago, where you were not confused, where you were very clear. Or if there was some, if you're dealing with doubt, see if you can connect with some time, some situation, either recently or quite a ways back, in which you, there wasn't doubt, you were clear about this one situation It doesn't have to be related to the difficult situation. It could be something completely different, but for which there was no doubt in this one moment, in this one circumstance. If what's come to mind is some kind of worry, or if it's stress, say, bring to mind some time when you were not in stress in that moment, when you were at ease, peaceful, relaxed, you felt good. You know, it could be as simple as being on vacation somewhere where you could set it all aside for a while, sitting on a beach, just any situation where you weren't in stress. If you're working with fear, see if you can bring to mind a time where you were confident, where there wasn't fear, where you felt safe, or whatever the situation would be for you. I'm calling this the resourced experience. It's a place of well-being where you're not struggling or suffering or dealing with a challenge. It's quite the opposite. And so for this resourced experience, spend a few moments to bring it alive in the present moment as much as you can for yourself. You may want to visualize the scene or the time or where were you? You know, what were you wearing? What was going on? Were there other people around with you? So not only bring the visual image, if there were sounds, if there were smells, and really connecting in with how you are feeling being in this resourced place. Perhaps checking in with your body. Or you may not notice it in your body. However, you really immerse yourself in this feeling. What is it like to feel confident or a sense of strength in this situation? Or a sense of clarity and knowing? Or a sense of real safety, whatever version you're picking. As much as you can. So we're consciously turning our awareness to cultivate or strengthen a particular mind state, something that you've experienced before that we're tapping back into. It's something that you know, that you've experienced, that it's possible for you to connect with. Notice, how does it feel in this place of clarity or peace or happiness or safety or confidence or strength? Notice if it feels good, if it feels clear. And now from this place, keeping this feeling alive, now turn your attention back to the challenging situation. And notice, what does the challenging situation look like to you? Or how are you experiencing it from this place of clarity or safety? Notice if it shifts your relationship with the difficulty or not. See how it is for you. If there's some situation for which you're not clear or certain about how to act or how to respond, notice if from a place of certainty or clarity, even though it was about something else, but the experience of being clear in and of itself, how or if that informs what you might do or how you might act in the real circumstance, the challenging circumstance that's up for you. Does it shift your ability to meet the scary situation from a place of non-fear, of confidence? And then when you're ready, you can bring yourself just back here into the let your awareness come back into the room here. You can allow your eyes to open if you wish. And so whatever happened, whatever experiences you just had may still very much be there with you. But so we just allow that to be there, but also having some amount of your attention back to looking around, seeing that you're actually here now in this room together, in this meditation hall. Your fellow practitioners are here with you, and allow yourself to connect back in the present moment here. What we just did is an example of resourcing. We were using a specific guided meditation to connect with some experience that you've already had. It's not foreign. Even if you're dealing with a lot of stress, and maybe you've been dealing with a lot of stress for a long time, every one of us have had at least some moments when we've been free of stress. It might not have been for quite a while, but we know what it feels like to have a moment of relief. Or, again, if there's some kind of confusion, at some point in our life, around some situation, we've had some clarity. We can connect with the state of being clear itself, knowing that it's something that is accessible to us. We're doing it's a little contrived because the difficult situation really is there, and we're looking back to some other situation. The whole idea is to touch in with an inner resource, that state of mind, simply as a tool then, so when we turn our attention to the difficulty, rather than just meet it from within the confusion or the stress, we come to it from the resource place. And then we see what happens. It may be that the resource place, it's hard to sustain it. And that will happen some of the time. Or it may be that it gave us some space, or it brought a new perspective in that can soften the grip of whatever we're dealing with a little bit. So we have to, this is an experiment to try and see. So that's one way that we can connect with our inner strength or our inner resource. So I encourage you, if this seemed like it was of interest, to take more time on your own, as much time as you need, to explore this more fully. I'd like to offer another way that we can connect with our inner strength when we need to. And it's still what I'm calling resourcing. Rather than a guided meditation where we're reflecting back on some positive or wholesome mind state we've experienced in the past, we can, in the present moment, also shift our state of mind if we can step out of the difficulty. But rather than looking back to the past, in the present moment, we find something that can resource us, even if we're just stepping that way for a few moments. So, for example, if we're dealing it in our home life with some kind of stress, if we can just get out long enough to take a walk, if it's a beautiful day and if you enjoy the sunshine, if you have some place you like to go, just as an example, but not only take the walk, but consciously, you know, if you love a beautiful sky with the white clouds, or a beautiful tree that you know, when you walk past it, not only enjoy it, see it, but consciously feel the beauty soaking into you. Take it in. Or if you like to listen to nice music, or if you like to go to the gym to work out, or whatever it is that resources you, take conscious time to do that. Again, it's shifting your just state of mind is all. The reason we want to have some tools like this is that oftentimes it's too hard for us to make the shift within the difficulty. So, for example, if you want to have a loving, compassionate heart and you're in the middle of a challenging situation where your heart's not loving, you're actually filled with anger or ill will. Well, sometimes in the middle of the anger and ill will, we can make the shift. But sometimes it's too much. We have to turn our attention towards something that fills us with love. And then from the place of already having a loving heart, now let's turn back to the difficult person. So it's the and we see, is that easier for us or not? And it's the same thing when we're dealing with any challenging situation. Sometimes we need to find a way to get resourced. We need to step out of it, or we need to do this inner work, connect with our already knowing place that we forget about, but is a resource we have. So if you were able in this guided meditation to touch into whatever the positive feeling was, non-stress, confidence, or clarity if you're in the situation that, where you're confused, or whatever it was, you know that place. It is accessible to you. And so then the question is, can we cultivate it and spend as much time as we need to keep it as alive as we need to be able to bring it back to meet the places where we haven't been clear? We don't want to forget that we can be clear, or we can be free of stress, or we can have a place where we're not caught in fear or worry or anxiety. And we tend to forget when we're wrapped up in it. So those are a couple of exercises you can try. And those are about one aspect of what I'm calling our inner, I'm calling it resourcing, but it's about our inner strength or inner powers or inner resource. That's one aspect. And I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about another aspect that is related, but it's not exactly the same thing. And that is, how can we be more actively attuned to our own inner wisdom? So what we were just talking about, you could think of it as an inner wisdom, but it's actually more an inner strength. Now I'm shifting to talk more about, when I say inner wisdom, you could think of it as your inner teacher, your inner guidance, your inner knowing that we could bring to any situation. Everything we do begins with volition. There's some inner impulse or force or movement, and that then, from that, we act in some way. We think or speak or act. An important distinction is to know whether that volition is coming from a place of what we would call wisdom, that would be our inner teacher, inner guidance, or if that impulse is our greed, hatred, and delusion at work in the mind. We need to understand this because, again, in any situation, if we're dealing with challenges, but in any situation, the more we can listen, first of all, the more that we can know that we actually have an inner wisdom and an inner teacher, and that we can trust that it's true that we have it, and then trust that voice more and more and come to know it. That can carry through. It's part of the resourcing also. But first, for many of us, sometimes people don't believe that they have much of an inner wisdom or teacher. So it's important, first of all, to acknowledge that we all do. But we want to acknowledge also that we all have the forces of greed, hatred, and delusion also. So it's a mix. Very important to be able to make that distinction. We all recognize the importance of strengthening mindfulness and the clear awareness that's so important to be able to know anything that's going on with any certainty within us. You know, if we're just caught up living on automatic pilot, then obviously whatever forces are arising, for better or worse, are just going to drive us in whatever that way they will. So, of course, the first part is strengthening the mindfulness, which is why we talk about mindfulness constantly, because it's so important. But it's not necessarily enough. Sometimes it's enough just to wake up and be aware and mindful in the present moment. Sometimes that's all we need. But sometimes that's not so much. We need to be in touch with what our intention is. So if we're mindful and aware and we're clear about the intention we have for how we want to live, that awareness is shining a light onto whatever the volition is, whatever the impulse is. And that is probably the most important aspect of discerning between, is this the inner teacher, is it an inner wisdom, or is it just being pushed along by greed, hatred, and delusion, all those forces. And then we do the best we can. So it's mainly important just to make the distinction in our minds. and to be open to connecting to the inner teacher. When is it time to listen to the inner teacher or not? Another important piece is not being afraid to make mistakes. Again, it's an experiment. So if there's a situation, we bring as much clarity to it as we can. Maybe we, if it's a situation where we need to actively cultivate a place of being resourced, we might do that. If we make that choice, that's our inner wisdom, our inner teacher guiding us right there. It's a knowing, oh, I need to step out of this situation. I need to get some resources. Maybe what the resources look like is I need to get some help from someone else because I don't know, so I need to go talk to somebody. That's your inner teacher guiding you. So it doesn't mean you're always self-contained. Sometimes you're going to listen to what you think is your inner guidance, and it wasn't so clear, and you know what? It headed you in the wrong direction. But actually, that's not a problem. That's really part of the learning tools of the earth, it seems like. We make an action, we get a response, and then we're open to see what happened. It informs, it teaches us. If what happened turns out not to have been such a wise and skillful course of action that we took, that's okay. We learn. It informs us for the next time. That's the attitudes we can take. So if we can keep that sense or that attitude, we're not afraid, then we can actually get interested and curious to feel into our own inner knowing. And then with experience, that place of inner knowing becomes more clear. It becomes more part of our second nature, if you will. I think it's already our nature, but we have to be attuned to it so it becomes more of our natural attunement. We're naturally coming from that place. And then we're not questioning anymore. We know more and more. So these two aspects, strengthening our resourcing and listening to our inner teacher. If you try to connect with something that resources you, whether it's a memory of a time or something in the present moment, and you're not able to do that, that's telling you something important. If you can't connect even with the idea that you actually might have some inner wisdom, that's an important piece of information. That's a place to tend to right there. That's the place to look. What's stopping you from connecting with your inner teacher or to even be open to trusting? And then as we investigate, it could be many things. There could be, again, it could be some fear, some old places of wounding, or it could be many, many things. What stops us from connecting back to times in our lives when we were clear and strong and had what we needed? Sometimes it's hard to remember any time. Maybe that was some of your experience. Or a place of trust. Maybe we've lost trust. That's giving us some information. So we may need to do some investigation to clear away the obscurations. It's still there. Sometimes people try to do these exercises and they can't, it oftentimes doesn't take much. They clear it away and they remember, oh, well, I do remember a time now. They need a little help. Of course I had a time when I was clear and I was strong. So we want to be open to what's needed to help us. We may need to do a little investigation. So that's the last piece that I'll talk about tonight. There's the two aspects of how we open to this wisdom. It's clearing away what blocks us from connecting with it. And it's also actively strengthening the connection when it is there. There's both that we have to do. So I'll stop there. I wonder if anyone has any comment or question.
I found it very helpful, this talk. And I think that both things are important to get in touch, you know, to allow yourself to get in touch with what you know is true and helpful and to get clear about it. And then I think, just the question part, I guess, when you can get that far and you still sort of have a mess on your hands, it seems to me that there's some kind of big letting go that has to that you have to be willing and open to doing, figuring it out or
right.
making it happen, whatever.
There's no question that for any situation, there could be a situation where we've brought as much clarity as we can, and we do the best we can. It doesn't mean that there couldn't be more, but we've done the best that we can figure out to do.
And it's also in stages.
Yeah.
It's not like you figure it all out. It's like as you go through it.
If we've done the best we can, we've tried everything,
mm-hmm.
shifting our attitudes, trying to shift the situation, talking to the other person, whatever it is, we've done everything we reasonably can think to do, and then we've got the situation we've got. There could be a point where sometimes there's situations where we just have to walk away if we have that option. Sometimes we don't even have that option, and sometimes that's not the right thing to do, and there really is some deeper level of letting go that has to happen. And that may not be such an easy thing to do. I'll just give you a kind of a simpler situation. Any of you parents can relate to this. When my son was a newborn, and he wasn't sleeping through the night, and I was tired, exhausted, and I couldn't take it anymore, and yet it didn't stop. It kept going more and more, and I didn't think I was beyond exhaustion. There can be a lot of frustration and many, you know, that we all go through, but at some point, really, there's no way out. There's only one way, and that's just through a deep letting go. One of the powers I found on very long retreats, actually the most powerful aspect for me on very long retreats, more than the meditative states that we cultivate, which are very important, the real power was that unless you choose to leave the retreat, which of course is an option, it forces you by the nature of how long it is, because they aren't sprints, they're marathons, they're endurance tests. You have to let go into whatever's happening, because you, especially, you know, if you're months into a retreat and you've got maybe many months to go and you're going through a period of despair or dark, bleak depression, whatever it is, and you can't go to the movies or call up a friend or whatever your life circumstance is, you know, go take a walk on the beach, you're just faced with yourself. It forces you to, on a level of letting go deeply, and through that something transformative can happen. And I have talked with people who've dealt with severe chronic illness and pain, who talk about having gone through, I can think of two people I've spoken with, both, one woman had a severe rheumatoid arthritis. She was in a wheelchair and her fingers and, you know, were completely twisted, and she spoke about being in intense pain, you know, and medications only work so much, and really she couldn't get out of it. And through all these stages she went through, including anger and denial and resentment and many, many stages, but there was no way out, and so it forced her into a level of letting go into it that she described as being transformative. And I remember meeting this person. She was in Tucson, Arizona. She was glowing. And I said to her something about, well, I'm sorry you've had to deal with this. And she said to me that she wasn't sorry. Powerful stuff. In fact, just last week, someone was sharing in this group about having gone through, I don't remember exactly, but I think it was a night, but some extended period. It sounded like it didn't last more than a day, but still a night of these waves of quite intense pain coming, in which it wasn't going to end, but something about the ability of deeply letting go into it, and there was something transformative about that, the ability to be there. So the opportunity is there in those situations, but it requires everything of us. It requires everything. You know, that's an intense fire.
Right, and but isn't, I mean, in those moments, isn't that what's meant by embracing dukkha?
Yes.
I mean, that's exactly what we're, That's the only place to go sometimes.
Right. And so what you're talking about of embracing dukkha, or in the examples I was just speaking of, that takes either an extraordinary person or...
No choice.
Or people who are well-practiced, who have been cultivating the strengths to be, so when the difficulties come, they've got the resources there, or they can bring in the resources when they need them and use these tools. As one person once said, we sit here meditating, when we bump up against the difficulties. And of course, there's all the times where it's blissful and peaceful and calm, but there's also times when we're just being present with our own challenges and difficulties. And he said, it's as if we're lifting the little weights so that when the big things hit, we're able to lift those big weights. I remember once I had been teaching a retreat. Every year, Jack Kornfield teaches a retreat at Yucca Valley down in Southern California. And I taught that for a couple of years. And the second time I taught it, I drove back from the retreat center to the airport with Jack and another one of the teachers and myself. We had a van, and we stopped off somewhere and then got out of the van, and I left my backpack there. It had my cell phone, my address book, my plane tickets, everything. I had my wallet still, but it had everything. And so I forgot about it. I just spaced out. And so when we went to the airport, then I got my luggage, but the van took off. And I'm there in the airport, and I didn't even remember the name of the hotel that provided the shuttle service of the van. I didn't know who had it. And what I noticed was, so I was like, well, what am I going to do? I'm here in the airport. Okay, I have a wallet, and I have a phone card, so I can make a phone. No, I didn't even have that. I had to borrow some change to make a call, so I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but something was going to work out. What I noticed was that my mind was perfectly at peace. And then Jack walked by with the other teacher, and we said, what's going on? I told him what had happened, and fortunately, Jack was able to give me the name of the shuttle service, so I knew who to call, and ended up it worked out okay. I called them. They found the backpack. Someone delivered it. I missed my flight, ended up getting home at 3 a.m., but it worked out okay. But in the moment, I wasn't so sure, and when Jack went by, I told him what had happened, and it was because I'd been sitting and meditating so much on the retreat, I had this stillness in the mind. And as I was noticing, it wasn't that I was trying. I just noticed that the difficulty was there, but I felt the same as if I were getting on the plane and leaving. I didn't feel any different. I said it to Jack, and I said, if we can't do it now for these circumstances, and then Jack finished my sentence, he says, yeah, what are we going to do when it's time to die? When the big ones hit. So we do the best we can. Sometimes it takes a lot of support to be able to have the resources to turn into the dukkha directly, or to use these other techniques to bring in the resources. That's why we're practicing. Yes, Olive.
I think interesting when you were doing the guided meditation. I found it interesting how I felt quite euphoric. Body felt really good and nice, and I think of the resources. That's of interest to me. And the other thing I had is that I think some of my wisdom has come with age, just that I've lived as long as I have. But I do know in the past that severe pain has been guided sometimes by an organization or therapy or a friend, or something has come into my life to guide me along that pain or to be different with it. But I think of late it is noticing what's going on in my body. It is and being aware of the good feeling, whatever, or when I'm feeling unpleasant about something. And what seems to happen with my unpleasant feelings or state today is that I have a lot more curiosity about it than I used to.
you have a lot more curiosity to investigate
yes.
the difficulty.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think in the past it would have been aversion. I didn't want to look at that. Overeat, oversleep, whatever, watch too much TV. Mm-hmm. Do all those things that could distract me from investigating what they do.
Well, certainly, as we age, hopefully most or all of us gain wisdom. And perhaps that's enough. But what we're saying is we can even do more than that by consciously cultivating these Dharma qualities.